Well, you want to sit right up close to the radio for this one, particularly if you're a Christian. For I'm going to give you a thought today that, whew, boy, hang on. How to kill a church. How to kill a church. Sometimes when we go across the country, we see churches that are closed. I saw one that was made into a tavern, advertising booze from each one of the beautiful windows. How sad, how tragic. I want to talk to you today, and I want to just flat out warn you, if you do these things, you will be killing your own church. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 26 verses say, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." As a church, the Lord Jesus made it clear in Matthew 16:18, his overall institution of the church would never die. However, it is clear that it will suffer persecution, as in many countries today. All the powers of hell cannot destroy the church as an organism from outside, but individual churches are sadly wounded from the inside by their own members. The continued existence of any local church is something all members must work at. I cringe to say it again, but local churches can be killed by member ignorance and carelessness of those who belong to it. Over 68 years of my evangelistic travel, I've seen it happen, and I desire to warn all church members, please listen carefully to me today. I want to tell you exactly how, if you're not careful, you'll be killing your own church. Number one, by staying away from it. You know, if you think back over the text of a sermon, you'll remember that we read, "Don't forsake assembling ourselves together to worship." Yet how easy it seems for many church members to get involved in other things. When members start skipping church, it's like the flu. It catches up with the others. You belong in Sunday school. Of course, most church folks try to make it for Sunday morning service, except for those who sleep in and argue they needed the time for something. The test begins on Sunday night when you have a great opportunity to show your love for the Lord and your obedience to His commands. It is a bad, destructive habit to skip Sunday night for other activities. Another sad Christian, Moses Lawn, or whatever else he can do instead of being in church. If attending prayer meeting was a requirement for leaving in the rapture, half of most congregations would miss out on the rapture. Prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church and greatly affects all the other services. You ought to say, "My absence from any service in my church is a vote to close it." Did you hear that? You ought to say, every Christian listening, "My absence from any service in my church is a vote to close it." Well, there are some who refuse to practice loyalty and may not be of us. The Bible says in 1 John 2:19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest they were not all of us." 1 John 2:19. You know, your excuses won't hold water, and they don't fool God. "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." Proverbs 16:2. Your absence, excuses, all that you use, are going to be faced by you when you stand before God, who will judge you for them. Isn't it time to prove that you really do believe the slogan, "Put Christ first"? This preacher urges you to get with it. Secondly, You can hurt your church by starving it. Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church lives and grows by conversions and addition of converts to its number. Good preaching and praying plus faithful bringing of lost souls nourishes the church. But if you don't labor to bring the lost, you starve out those that it is prepared to reach. Souls being saved are like a blood transfusion to any church. A church can be killed by starving it in the spiritual realm. Sometimes the message of the church is changed and aborted by all sorts of heresy and practice of doctrine. Many false churches and religions today used to stand for the truth. I say used to stand for the truth. Their clergy thought the wrong, sought the wrong fellowship, and their preaching became weak and untrue. You can further starve your church by not backing it with prayer and faithful support. Your church is the grandest, most wonderful business in all the world. It's one that will last into eternity if you'll cherish it. And you must have money to operate. At least a tenth of every member's income belongs in the offering plate, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. And the pastor himself needs to be well paid as a man of God. And the church bills must be paid. And you dare not cut back on those things that count for eternity. And unfaithful giving is a serious failure, and it will cause shrinkage in any church. Let's see if I can come up with number 3. I remember what it is. Strive in it. If you want your church to be a great, going, active church, then get involved. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For ye are yet carnal, for where is among you envying, strife, and divisions? Are ye not carnal, and walk as men? 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. You know, strife is something you've got to avoid. Strive to be right. Strive to do what you should. But avoid strife. When two people are in disagreement and both are utterly selfish, it will cause a strife that will grow until it consumes the whole church. Strife is a mark of spiritual immaturity and is promoted by selfish righteousness, in that one looks down upon others while exalting self in his own mind. One of the most tragic examples is when a member gets offended by the preaching. Oh, I've seen the little pears out in the parking lot as they were squawking about the sermon just delivered in the power of God. You need to remember the pastor's commanded to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4:2. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Remember, the pastor not only must declare the truth, but also to rebuke those that are living wayward lives. Further rebellion against the pastor is usually an evidence of rebellion against God. Beware, ye are not a person that causes strife, but one who gently serves with others with genuine rejoicing humility. And then number 4, you can kill off your church by stubbornness. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said that the Lord is great, a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Oh, my dear friend, it is no virtue to be so set in your own ways that you hinder a change in your church for the better. Sanctification, which is the process of changing people, often brings good growth and change to an active church. I often think of some folks showing a visitor all the great things that have come about in their church. Nearby, an old member said, and I've been agin every one of them. The sin of the Sardis church was that it stubbornly refused to repent of its sin. Revelation 3:3. And consequently, it slowly died on the vine, all the while refusing to admit its cold in a different state. Our flesh does not like to be rebuked, and some say it is your own business whether you repent or not. Not true. Remember, every one of us is an example to others, and when church members become a bad example, the church will always be injured, and if it spreads, even killed. No church member can afford to indulge in any sin, because sin in church members is what kills the church. It has solemn consequences. If an individual or individuals, more than one, conduct themselves in such a way they destroy the church, they better get ready to face the soon judgment of God. Now let me look a little further. First, Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile, the Greek word is destroy, the temple of God, we are that indwelt temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. A frog has visited me today. Many carnal church members, in their zeal to get their own way, justify their own sins. They soothe their own pride and their hurt feelings and do not seem to care if they destroy a faithful lighthouse. There's a fifth thing I want to talk about that can bring great injury and judgment and trouble to you. That fifth thing is selfishness. Selfishness. It happens to so many, 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 many people. They are selfish in their church and the things that they do. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? 1 John 3:17. We have greater means to get the gospel out to any generation of the past, via radio, TV, the printed page, and computers. All provide a multiple means of reaching out our world to sin. The question is, why are we not doing it? For $30 a month, a national overseas pastor can be supported. Many spend more than that on our pets and hobbies and recreations. God help us in these last days to share the good news of the gospel and not be selfishly spend so much time on ourselves. Others need to spend more time on getting out the good news of the gospel. Others sacrifice what might be, that others will never be saved because we've never sacrificed to show the need of the same. Sometimes people in the church are like mules. Boy, you say, what in the world's he going to say about that one? I said some people in churches are like mules. Are you ready for it? They can't pull while they're kicking, and they can't kick while they're pulling, right? You can't pull while they're kicking, and they can't kick while they are pulling. Oh, I'm praying that God will help us to turn stubborn wills to honest correction and work together for our church to make it be the lighthouse that it ought to be. I am a member of a good, fundamental Country Baptist Church. The pastor's a Bob Jones graduate. The word is preached in power and authority. The people are a congregation that is thrilling to be around, that when they find laymen come, spend another half hour just talking in fellowship. What a wonderful church. I hope you have one like that. If not, you better leave the cold, dead one and get in a good one. And if you're in a good one, don't do anything to cause its death and destruction. I pray. You nasty old clock over there in the wall. I gotta do one more. Lord, take my voice right so I can do the fifth one, please.